And hello, happy Sunday. It is Jeffrey Wessel, Lawrence O'Brien, back here for episode 5 of our special NJPW World upload look here on Strong Style History. Lawrence, how are you today?
I'm fantastic after watching these matches.
Yeah, we got four humdingers here for you today. So I guess let's just get right into it, shall we?
Yes.
Let's do it. All right. Our first match, going all the way back to June the 2nd, 1983, at the Kurami Kokugikan for Antonio Inoki versus Hulk Hogan in the final of the International Wrestling Grand Prix, the actual IWGP, for which everything else has been named.
Yeah, so I guess kind of clear up some confusion. So this was not the IWGP title as like you know it today.
No,
this was essentially the tournament final trophy equivalent, of winning like a G1.
Yeah,
it wasn't like the title wasn't established until 4 years later or so.
Right. Yeah. Until 1987.
And yeah, so this was not like the heavyweight title. It was a championship. It was like the trophy was literally like a belt, though.
Yes, it was. Yeah, so, and that's where the confusion lies. And in fact, even NJPW World fucked it up by saying it's the IWGP title final. It's like no, it is not.
it's very confusing. I can understand how people could get very mixed up about that,
because
it was very weird lineage of how that happened.
But the trophy involved was what was an actual title belt, but that is not the IWGP heavyweight title. This is just the trophy for winning this edition of the International Wrestling Grand Prix.
And Japan loves their fake wrestling governing bodies.
Oh yeah,
for whatever reason.
Well, especially since again I've been watching. I think both of us have been watching some old All Japan in our free time, and the good old PWF there. Who?
Yep.
Still out there. So the final of this would be Antonio Inoki against Ichiban Hulk Hogan. Prior to his, prior to the days of Hulkamania.
Well, it wasn't too much longer until
it
happened.
It wasn't too much longer. It was about six months long. It was about in 6 months we would get that run. But yeah,
he was on the cusp of breaking out big time, and this was the start of it. Really, right here was he started to really get more of that international appeal at this point in time. And I mean, he had already had one Japan run earlier.
In which he released a disco record.
Yes, he did. And he sure did.
But also, he had already been in Rocky III by then, too.
Yes, so he was already, it was building. It was building for him. He needed that one more opportunity, and it was coming very, very shortly after this.
Oh, yeah.
But this was a bit of a springboard here.
Yeah, New Japan was the first place that Hogan really broke out and became had a taste of celebrity, and this would only go to help as we start the match, and Hogan immediately locks in an STF.
Yeah.
So alert, Hulk Hogan using an STF.
Again, we've gone over this before on our show. This is not to any surprise. Hulk Hogan trained under Hiro Matsuda. I mean, he is not some idiot that doesn't know how to grapple. He was not asked to do that in the World Wrestling Federation.
And would he fuck in WCW?
Right. So it was not a thing of where he didn't know how to do this stuff, guys. Like, he just, it was never really in the cards for him to do it in the future after this. But he wrestled differently in Japan. Yeah, he really did. 100%.
Yeah, we went over that. I can't remember the episode number off the top of my head, but I know
when we faced Muda.
We went over that when we covered Hogan versus the Great Muda from Wrestling Dontaku 1993.
Yep, and yeah, I mean Hogan could go, man. He could work, and but man, I tell you what, Inoki in this was just like otherworldly good. I mean,
Can we talk about that bridge sequence?
oh my God. Like I said before, in our group chat, I think no people sleep on. I know, like everybody, Inoki is, the most famous thing about him is just the technique and all that stuff. But the dude is like ridiculously strong. Like he doesn't look it, but he is. Like this guy supported Hulk Hogan's weight on him in a neck bridge for like 20 seconds.
Yes. Oh my God.
I mean, it's like, yeah, this is ridiculous strength. I mean, that's absurd. I mean,
I mean,
Hogan.
Hogan had to help him with that, of course, too.
Oh,
But yeah.
right, but it was like still. I mean, the be able to do that is just insane. And remember, this is the guy that slammed Andre before Hogan ever did that.
Yeah, that much is true too.
This guy, he.
Even WWF's own official history of Hogan slamming Andre isn't correct because Hogan used to slam Andre all the damn time
Right.
when during his first heel run in the WWF.
Correct. Yeah, there's guys that lifted Andre before. That wasn't like a new thing. They, of course, Vince is revisionist. The history tries to
Yeah.
say
I
otherwise,
mean,
but
he retcons himself more than DC Comics does at this point,
bro,
so.
I mean, bro, Carl Gotch did it for God's sake.
Right. Anyway, back to this match. There was a
But man.
great sequence after that with dueling Cobra twists.
Oh yeah, it was freaking amazing. I mean, they just he Inoki locked it in, but then Hogan was able to just like find a way to like reverse it and turn it into his own Cobra twist. It was like, whoa, what a little sequence of events there.
Yeah. And let's talk
And then
about some other sequence of events that going on
Ho
here.
H Hogan hits the Axe Bomber.
Let's not forget, in Japan, he did not use that guillotine leg drop as his finish. He used Axe Bomber.
That was the big move for him in Japan, and I honestly personally love that. I think
I
the
do
Axe Bomber
too.
was so much better, than the freaking leg drop.
You know,
It
I
was
tell you, if I bet you, I swear he could have had maybe 5 more years added to his career
oh yeah,
physically if he kept using Axe Bomber.
oh yeah, because it was dropping the leg all the damn time. It's
Yeah.
just but yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, they he finally, like, Hogan hit that Axe Bomber, and it kind of turned things around for him, because for a lot of the match, Inoki was just absolutely
Kicking his ass. Yeah.
confounding him with like all the things he was doing. Just Inoki's just my God. Like, I forget like how actually amazing of a wrestler he is sometimes. It's just he is
Yes.
just astounding, like how much of a natural talent he had.
Yeah. But then, we get to some curriculars on the outside, of course, because, that's how this shit happens. Hogan is able to get back in.
Oh, so yeah, what happened was how they got on the outside was Noki tried to get him up in a fireman's carry hold, and he ended up the Hogan's weight like shifted him toward the ropes, and they both flew over the ropes to the
Yes.
outside. And then Hogan goes and hits the Axe Bomber in the back of Noki's head and hits the post.
Yes.
And he posts him off with the Axe Bomber, and then when Inoki tries to get it back up on the ropes, and Hogan's back in there, so Hogan goes and runs full speed, shoots off the ropes, and delivers the Axe Bomber flush into Inoki's head, knocked flying off the ropes, and Inoki cannot get back in the ring.
Yeah, Antonio Inoki was knocked the fuck out, like legit. I mean, when you see him, you see the Young Lions pushing him back in the ring, which, yeah, not a good move, guys.
Yeah, that was, yeah, that was not.
They push him in, and you could see on the video Inoki's tongue
Oh.
is hanging out. I mean, he is gone. Hogan, of course, still thinks this is part of the act.
Yeah.
and doesn't realize that. Yeah, I mean, when he finally realizes, to his credit, he you know, quits the shtick when he finally realizes it.
But yeah, no. And so they call for the bell. It's over. Hogan wins the IWGP
Yeah,
provisional IWGP tournament.
the International Grand Prix. So yeah, they had to call an audible, and Hogan was your winner.
And
Did you watch
it's a
the?
pretty terrible scene in the ring. I mean,
It
there
is.
for a while.
Yeah. Well.
They're just trying to get Inoki's back to life, basically. I mean,
Yeah, I
just.
mean, well, but yeah, my honey was watching that ma this e exact match with me, and she had to leave the room because of that
It
scene,
was
and I can't
very
blame her.
uncomfortable.
Very scary. I mean, yeah, it had been a long time since I had watched that match, and I forgot that how awful that was, you know?
It was really rough. Hogan, I was visibly upset. I think he realized like how that was not like that's not good. Like something's gone really, really wrong here. And
Yeah.
but weirdly enough, there are some urban, a couple of urban legends about this. I God knows if they're real or not. I hope not. But there's one urban legend that says that has been going around about this, that Inoki faked this on purpose and went to the hospital and like got out and snuck out to duck creditors.
Oh my God.
Believe it or not, that is like an actual theory that has been proposed about this incident. And I don't know how much validity I put in that, but again, it's wrestling. I guess I wouldn't shock me in the least if it was true, but I don't really think it was in this case. I think
Yeah,
this was.
I think the way Inoki looked, it did not look like he was faking that.
Yeah, I don't think I think just think it was a really bad accident that happened. And yeah, I don't well I certainly don't think this was the way they this was intended to happen. I'm pretty sure that Inoki was supposed to win this. And
Yeah, would it shock you?
yeah, so it wasn't didn't go according to plan at
Yeah,
all.
but at the same time, this is one of the formative matches of the company too. It's
Right.
one of those, and and it helped elevate Hulk Hogan to be in position for the superstardom and the complete fall from grace
Yeah.
that would be coming. But at the same time, like I said, you could see the look on his face because yes, I mean this is your opponent that the guy that you were working the match with, and he's in this sort of in this kind of distress. But also, let's not forget too just how loyal and appreciative Hogan was to Inoki through his
Yeah.
career, to the point where even when Hogan was working the AWA, who at that time was working with All Japan, Hogan refused, and he would still work New Japan.
Right.
So there's that. So yeah, I mean, you'd see that. I mean, and even back in the 1993, it, the match with Muta, in that press conference afterwards, where he was, burying the the WWF World Title, he even then he even said, "Hey, I want to have one more match with Inoki," And he wasn't, and he was doing it in his normal Terry Bollea voice. He wasn't,
Yeah.
"Listen, brother," he wasn't
That's
doing that at all.
right.
So, a little bit something to be said, but all right. Match number two on today's episode, we go to an event that I said we weren't going to cover because everybody else and their mother have covered the New Japan versus UWF I feud. However, I am going to say this. I was wanting to do some junior heavyweight matches because there didn't seem to be too many that were getting posted to the front page. And whenever you talk about the NJPW versus UWF I feud, it seems like this match never comes up. So we're doing this one, and this will be from the Tokyo Dome, October the 9th, 1995. in New Japan Pro Wrestling versus UWFI. Jushin Thunder Liger versus Naoki Sano.
Yeah, and I think the problem is that they had so many good matches before this.
Well, it was only two matches before this.
Right. But those two matches were so good, Jeff, that I think this kind of gets overlooked because it's really not quite as good as those.
But it's not bad either.
Oh, no, it's not at all. I'm just saying, I don't think it was ever on that level of that one.
Right, but at the same time, so, you know, we wanted some junior heavyweight matches. Oh, look, here's Jushin Liger, you know?
Right.
So, of course, we all know the feud by now. The breakaway, the second UWF breakaway from New Japan Pro Wrestling. And in this case, and of course, you know, Liger and Sano had been, you know, generational rivals as well.
Yeah.
And so when it comes time for it, Liger just gets it going with a rolling capo kick right before the bell. Just
yeah.
Hits Sano and we are off. And then he throws him out of the ring and we are off to the races.
Yeah.
So you know it Liger looks pretty dominant in these early stretches, you know, getting octopus holds, and then we get a shote from
yeah.
him. But then Liger misses a plancha to Sano. Sano is able to hit a tope on him and then go into a cross arm breaker.
Yep. Well, oh yeah, but don't ask Kevin Kelly about that though.
Oh God, yeah. Unfortunately, we had to watch the English version of this, and why don't you take it away on this one, Lawrence?
Well, at one point during the match, Kevin Kelly says, "quote that Liger didn't have as vast of a grappling submission background, but he made do with you know the with what he learned in the dojo." Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You are talking about one of the best mat wrestlers of the last. Oh my God! How do you come to that conclusion? How have you watched New Japan for all that time and thought,
How have you worked for New Japan? I mean, you've seen Liger, you know.
Are you kidding me? Like, have you seen any of Liger's Mexico matches? Like, and you're going to tell me that he doesn't know how to mat wrestle?
Yeah, that's...
He doesn't have a submission background? Come on, man.
Yeah, that was some bullshit.
And this my friends, is why I do not enjoy Kevin Kelly as a commentator in any sort of form, because I just don't think the guy really knows what he's talking about. I had a good 95% of the time. So
yeah, that's
sorry,
a head shaker there.
When you just say something like that, you just lose complete credibility with me. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm being harsh, but like, that's just like a complete lack of credibility in your field.
Well,
to say that.
Well, it's like, you know, whenever Kushida would get votes, you know, back when he was in New Japan for best high flyer, it's like, have you actually watched Kushida?
Right. Because they get that, and then you have the guys that parrot guys like Kevin Kelly, and they go, oh, well, I guess Liger, you know, from what I've heard, Liger wasn't that, you know, he doesn't have that much of a grappling submission background, but what?
I don't know about that. Yeah.
Misinformation at that point. I mean, that's like spreading misinformation, and that's just like a no-no, especially about a legend. I mean, like, come on, the guy wasn't just some high flyer. Like, you know, Liger didn't just do like moves, you know, like that wasn't just Liger's thing. Liger was like one of the best mat wrestlers too. Like, he could do everything.
Yeah, he could. I mean, and he did everything.
That just was unbelievable to me. That is unfortunately one of the biggest things that stood out through this whole thing for me, and it sat with me so much, and I'm like, wow, that's just such bad commentary. Like, that is just the worst type of commentary.
Yeah, no, I got you. I feel. I honestly, I must have either watched the Japanese feed or I blocked it from my memory
Oh.
of how bad Kevin Kelly was botching
You probably
that.
watched Japanese feed, because that's just something to me. Like, if you hear that, you just go, "Oh my God!" Like, that is the most absurd thing I've ever heard. Because it's just, it is.
So
Whew.
back to
But
it.
they were, you know, and while, and the hilarious thing is, while he says that, they're like in the midst of having this like mat wrestling clinic, like on the,
Right.
and I'm like, wow, like, yeah, okay, Kevin.
That sees Sano roll through into an STF.
Right, like, yeah, wow, yeah, they're really, you know, like that Liger, man. He really didn't have that much of a background in that.
Noted spot monkey Jushin
Yeah.
Thunder Liger.
Yeah. But this match starts to really pick up when Sano gets Liger on the outside after, well, Liger missed the plancha, and then Sano fires off one of his trademark diving topes through
Yep.
the rope and just pegs freaking Liger with it. And that's when things start to really pop off with the offense here.
Yeah, include multiple cross arm breakers on the part of Naoki Sano.
Yeah.
Liger at one point is able to hit another rolling Kapo kick, but then misses
Yeah.
a flying headbutt,
Right.
which leads to another cross arm breaker. And that's pretty much the moment that turned the tide for Naoki Sano. Sano beats Liger
Yep.
with a tiger suplex.
I think a suplex, right?
And it's suddenly 2-1. NJP Sano gets the first
It was
victory for
2-2, I think, at that point. I
I think it
think they
was I thought it was
tied it
two
up.
one. I thought it was 2-1. Maybe it was
Nah,
two two.
they believe they tied it up at that. I think he tied it up at that point.
Either way, it was a victory for the UWFI over New Japan.
Yeah, and yeah, I thought, like, in 12, this little short, like, shorter, like, 12-minute match, they crammed a little bit of everything in here. I mean, there was some great mat stuff. There was high flying. There was some really back and forth striking offense, and just a lot, a little bit of everything to be had here. It's kind of like a greatest hits collection of their, like, what they've done in the past.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure, for sure. So that we go now from one Tokyo Dome show to another. And we go now to April 29th, 1996. This was a very packed Tokyo Dome show. So
Yes.
we had quite a few. We were kind of spoiled for choice for what we could have chosen, including the match in which Shinya Hashimoto began
Oh.
his epic title run that we talked about last episode. But instead, we're going to what else was it? Jushin Thunder Liger versus Great Sasuke.
Yep.
Who else was there?
Well, there's Tenryu versus Fujinami,
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And this match.
and Macho Man versus Tenzan.
Oh, fuck.
I
Yeah, I need to see
I am
that
not
match.
making this up, people.
No, it sounds awesome.
And Masahiro Chono versus Lex Luger is also on this.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
But at this
it's
point,
very interesting show, to say
it
the least.
was, including this match here, April 29th, 1996, from the Tokyo Dome, the Great Muta versus I think he was at Michinoku Pro at this point, wasn't he?
No,
Jinsei, or was he in FMW?
no. Jinsei had just come off the WWF run.
So he had just
Yeah.
finished being Hakushi.
Yeah. He had just, like, pretty much just finished his run as Hakushi in the Fed. Left the kind of, like, very, you know, suddenly. It was like a weird, the WWF run for Jensei Shinzaki was very strange. He started off very very hot. You know, well, the WWF, so initially, I don't know if you know this, Jeff, he was not the guy they initially wanted.
I heard about this. Yeah, they initially had wanted Hayabusa.
This is correct. And yeah, they had the Japan tour, and Hayabusa refused. He didn't want to do it. He went to FMW, and obviously it was his. That was history. And yeah, they Jensei was their second pick, and he became Akushi, and started off incredibly hot. Was booked like a monster. In his first few months there, had the just the really trademark crazy look that they gave him with all the characters on him, on his body, and he ha ended up having a big time rivalry with Bret Hart, which was had some awesome matches.
It did. I remember some of those, yeah. So.
And that was awesome, but unfortunately that really ended up being the the peak of his run, and just they kind of just forgot about him after a while. Teamed with Quang for a little bit.
Ooh. Quang?
Quang's Savio Vega.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, when he was playing Quang. Yes.
I forgot about that.
And yeah, he that happened, and he turned babyface for a little bit, and then just like kind of vanished after a while, and they just they he went left, and then pretty much shortly after that he came over here and worked this big time match with Muta.
And what a match it was. So we start off the match, and Muta is resplendent in gold face paint and gold gear too.
Oh yeah,
That's almost like the iconic Muta,
this was a really interesting look for him.
And Shinzaki, of course, has his totem, his talisman, his ward. I don't know what you would call that, but he ties it to the post. To
Yeah.
start off,
Oh.
Muda tries to get the drop on him by spitting the mist at him, but misses.
Yeah.
And then, and then it just goes from there.
Muto was like peak asshole in this match.
Oh,
Peak
God, yes.
asshole Muto was like it in this match. Absolutely, like just terrible human being in this match to Jensei Shinzaki.
Yes, he was, but it wasn't like Jinsei wasn't getting his offense in because, really early in the match, we get the rope walk.
Very, very much early in the match it happens. But then Muta is able to get him to the outside and pile drives him through a table.
Oh, yes. Well,
And
but not before half of Muda's face paint is on.
no.
Is on Shinzaki's left titty.
Yeah, oops. I guess that.
And would remain there for the rest of the match.
Yeah. And then after that, he Jinsei is bleeding all over the place. He
Hold on. He takes, yeah, because
snaps his the board.
his board, his staff, his talisman, his whatever you want to call it, just breaks it over his head and starts attacking him with it. So yes, at this point, Shinzaki, we have a 0.7 Muta scale in a Muta match.
Yeah,
Go
right.
figure.
And then Muta grabs his belt, Jinsei's belt, and hangs him over the ropes with his own belt while he's bleeding everywhere.
Oh my God.
This is just a sight to behold at this point.
Oh, and then what does he do? He takes Shinzaki's blood and writes
Oh,
paints.
yeah!
Oh my God.
Like I said, Muta was peak asshole here.
Oh my God. So then we get a after this we get a revelry of missed diving headbutts and missed moonsaults and even once again missing with the green mist
Yeah.
until he Shinzaki hoists Muda up for a power bomb, and at that point, he finally connects with the mist.
Oh, yeah. Well, wait. Before that, Jinsei Shinzaki pulls out the Sasuke special
Oh,
to
yes.
on I and almost breaks his neck on the apron in the process.
Yes, he does. Yes, I remember that. Yes. Oh, my God.
Like top of his head hits the freaking apron, and when he's doing the Sasuke special, I'm like,
Yes.
oh my God, like he like came that close to like breaking his neck. It
Yeah,
was horrendous.
so finally Muda succeeds with the moonsault, gets the pin. This match was an experience.
It really was. It really not what I don't think you would really expect. You know, from they Muta really just went full on Muta here, and
Muda went Muda. How about that?
yeah, it really like full on Muta. You know, Jinsei really was the underdog through a lot of this, and you know he didn't get as much offense as I thought he would get, to be honest. But it was really interesting the way they did it. I mean it. The crowd wasn't too hot for this, though. It was really weird. They had their moments, but crowd wasn't too on fire over this. I don't know if it was just Jinsei wasn't really like a New Japan guy, and he's coming off the WWF run, and I don't know if he was just he just wasn't that hot at that point.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if like because you know obviously before that he was in Michinoku Pro, so he wasn't on like the big screen, you know, for even for Japan. So I don't know how much of a, but I think that fans gained a lot of respect for him after this.
Yeah,
And
his glory days were to come because, you know, he would eventually, you know, have a
oh yeah.
regular tag team with Hayabusa, and you know, they would go, you know, FMW, All Japan,
Right.
ECW, you know.
Yep.
So, I mean, it kind of worked out for Jinsei Shinzaki, but yeah, this match was an experience.
Yeah, it sure was.
To say the least.
Jinsei had a very weird career arc. I mean, it's just very much all over the place his journey took him, back and forth.
Yeah, back and forth, hither and yon. So,
Yeah.
all right. We're now to our final match of this episode. We go to May 3rd, 2010. Fukuoka International Center during Wrestling Dontaku 2010. This is the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title match in which the champion is Pro Wrestling Noah's Naomichi Marufuji defending against one half of Apollo 55, Ryusuke Taguchi.
So,
Jushin Thunder Liger joins us on commentary this time.
yeah. So, unfortunately, I watched the Kevin Kelly version
Oh
of this,
no, why? Lawrence.
because I wanted to torture myself this time, I guess,
Yeah,
Jeff.
apparently.
I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna do it. I'm just gonna do it. I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna deal with it. And he, to his credit, he wasn't as bad in this match. During this, he was a little more tolerable, but yeah, this so Marufuji's coming off a pretty big year here. He won the Super J Cup in 09, then proceeded to beat Tiger Mask 4 at the Dome for the title.
Right.
And he still at this point he is still the champion. And
And
Taguchi,
said Tiger Mask is actually seconding Taguchi in this match.
right?
Which is
Yeah.
interesting that Prince Devitt did not.
Yeah, no, well, I guess at that point, and Kevin Kelly brought it up, is that they were stripped of the junior ta tag titles at this point because they hadn't defended them in like 30 days.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah,
Interesting.
I don't know what the deal was with that. I forgot if it was I don't know if Devitt was hurt or he was had other commitments somewhere,
Oh, that's possible. I didn't think about that.
but yeah, that. I mean, I guess that's what was going on. So, like, Taguchi was able to be on his own here for a bit. He actually had faced Marufuji during that J Cup and lost. So this was not the first time he faced him.
Right.
So this was a rematch, and yeah. So this was like it started off weird. I mean, Marufuji's kind of dominating, but then you know, here's my thing, and this is where this. This first thing really bugged me, and it comes back again and bugs me once again during this. Marufuji hits this like brutal DDT on the ramp, only for Taguchi to barely sell it and like hit it, put him in an arm bar on the ramp like directly after that.
Yeah, I did notice that. They rolled into a cross arm breaker
That
on the
was
ramp.
awful.
Yeah.
That was so bad. I mean, he didn't even like try to sell that move. It was awful. I mean, like, how do you no sell a DDT on the freaking ramp entrance ramp, dude? Like, come on.
Yeah, that was not right, you
Yeah,
know?
I don't know if Taguchi was like a little more unseasoned here. 'Cause it really came off that way during this whole match, is that Taguchi just didn't look like a complete wrestler here yet.
Yeah, I mean he had been 8 years in. I mean he did pull off some cool moves though that you don't see him
Yo,
do.
no. Yeah, well, no, 100%. No, he
Like
did. But I don't
the
think.
straight jacket German.
Oh, no. There is no disputing Taguchi's talent at this point, but I just don't think he was psychologically like there yet, as put it all together.
Right.
And
Well,
there's a few
and he
moments in this match that you see that.
Yeah, well, I mean, and he was also, let's face it, at that time, he was, I hate to say this, but let's face it, he was the lesser member of
Right,
Apollo
right.
55.
Right. And yeah, I don't know if the fans like really truly believed he had a real shot here against Mara Fuji. But anyway, Taguchi continues to work that arm that he put in the arm bar. But then Mara Fuji just comes back with just like a ton of offense. He springboard drop kicks him to the outside and slams Taguchi's head into the gate. And tries to choke him out on the post, almost to the 20 count, but Taguchi's able to beat the count somehow.
Yeah. And then at one point, Taguchi kicks out of. He hits a Dodon, and that doesn't do shit.
Yeah. And guess what? Taguchi hits a DDT to Mara Fuji on the apron, which. Then is now then barely sold again by Mar, but this time by Mara Fuji. And I was like, oh God.
This must be the softest ramp in New Japan history.
This one was on the apron, the one on the apron. But
Oh,
still,
I'm
it's like,
sorry, my bad.
but yeah, and I'm like, come on. But then Taguchi put the arm bar back on, so it was like Mara Fuji was going after his Taguchi's head and neck, and like Taguchi was going after Mara Fuji's arm, but. Then yeah, after that, Mara Fuji hit Taguchi, who was hanging over the top rope with his sliding drop kick, and then Brainbuster dropped him on the apron, and at least he sold that one.
Yeah.
But man, I Mara Fuji has always had this creative offense. It felt like it come from any and all directions.
Well, creative offense and a real sadistic streak.
Yeah,
Let's be
yeah,
honest.
yeah. Oh yeah. But yeah.
At what point Taguchi hits like a rite of passage? Like I don't know what the move is actually called. I just remember when I recognize it as Adam Page's rite of passage.
Oh
And
yeah.
yeah, and that doesn't get the win.
Oh.
And then,
Well.
Mara Fuji finally beats him with a Tiger Driver looking thing.
It's the it, he called it the Tiger Flosion at this time.
Oh, okay, Tiger Flo.
It was
Oh, okay.
like his like little variant on the Emerald Flosion.
Yes. Yeah, I
Yeah.
you know, I did think about that. I didn't think about it. It was a combination Tiger Driver into Emerald Flosion, but yes. And
Yeah.
then yeah, Tiger Mask gets in Mara Fuji's face. Liger is righteously pissed.
Yeah.
At this brazen outsider.
Oh. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, that was the whole thing with Mara Fuji, it was the Noah outsider, and he was running roughshod during this whole period.
Yeah.
So, that everybody was trying to get him out of there. But oh yeah, and I also failed to mention that at one point, freaking Taguchi almost killed Mara Fuji with a freaking vertebraker,
Oh
like
yeah. Well, maybe that
almost.
was the move I was thinking of. I thought
Yeah,
that was a
that the yeah
vertebrae.
the
That was the
that
vertebraker. Okay.
yeah yeah
Okay. That was the one I couldn't think of it. Yeah. I just
and
wrote rite of passage, but yeah.
Homicide used that move too.
Yes. Yeah. Well, again, it was my, that was where my neurons
The
were firing. And
AKA.
I watched this.
AKA the cop killer.
Yep. Oh yeah. And I also watched this a week ago, so I mean, I'm trying to piece things together. So yeah. Hey, also on this show, the Dark Match. This was a real mat classic. Mitsuhide Hirasawa defeated Nobuo Yoshihashi.
Wow.
Yep,
Wow.
the future Captain Fucking New Japan beat Yoshihashi.
That must have been a thriller.
Oh boy. Also on this show, Jushin Thunder Liger, the mat wrestling novice, defeated Negro Casas
Yeah, I want to see that's a
for the CMLL World Middleweight Championship.
that's one I gotta watch back too because somewhere because that sounds like amazing in so many different ways. So
Yuji Nagata and Wataru Inoue won the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championship in a three-way match, beating the then champions No Limit, Tetsuya Naito and Yujiro Takahashi, and Bad Intentions, who of course Giant Bernard and Carl Anderson.
Yep.
Also, the match we watched was the third. It was the second to last match on the card. The semi-main of Wrestling Don Taco 2010, Hiroshi Tanahashi lost to Toriano because they were having a big feud at that time. So that makes sense. And then I remember Yano was like public enemy number two in New Japan at that time too, because he had betrayed Togi Makabe to go over to Chaos with Shinsuke Nakamura, which on that note, the main event, Togi Makabe defeated Shinsuke Nakamura to end Nakamura's third and final title reign. So there's that. That was Wrestling Dontaku 2010 from Fukuoka International Center. So, and that's gonna wrap up our matches for this week. I don't actually know what we're gonna do next, so it's gonna be a surprise for everyone. Well, except for us,
Surprise.
except for us when we decide what matches we're gonna do.
Yeah.
But and we may not do one next week because it's Memorial Day weekend and there's an AEW pay-per-view, so we may be reviewing that instead, taking the time that we would usually do to record this to record a review of that pay-per-view, and then we'll just edit it together. And so a week from this coming Wednesday, you'll have a big bumper edition of Boom Goes the Dynamite with reviewing the pay-per-view and that week's episode of Dynamite. So in the meantime, so yeah, as soon as we figure it out, we'll do episode six of this series after that. So in the meantime, Lawrence, go ahead and plug yourself.
You can follow me at LOB underscore three. We have dropped at Puro in the Rough. We have dropped the latest Scandals in Puro episode number two. We cover, excuse me. Oh my goodness. You can see us cover a very myriad of topics such as the oh my God, I am so sorry. I'm having the worst blank right now. Oh my
Breathe
goodness.
in, breathe
Oh
in.
God. I honestly just check it out. It's a really good episode. I can't remember everything right now. But it was a really good episode. We're gonna continue to keep doing it too. We got some really interesting topics lined up. One of them probably being Enokiism at some point soon.
Oh, I can't wait.
And it's gonna be a doozy, I tell you that much.
Knowing my deep abiding love of Enochism, I just cannot wait. Be still my beating heart.
Prepare yourself. But you can find us on iTunes and Spotify. I have the links on my Twitter at LOB underscore three if you can't find us, but you can literally just search up Puro in the Rough and you should be able to find us on either platform. So, and we're also on SoundCloud as well, slash at soundcloud.com/PITRV2.
Alrighty. You can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style. Also my personal Twitter at GD Wessel, the Strong Style Story blog. I've made a couple of posts recently. So go ahead and check that out, strongstylestory.tumblr.com. Also if case y'all had noticed, the Pro Wrestling Only feed is now the Pro Wrestling Only parenthesis mostly feed. So it's sounding like a British comedy show now. But with the there were a couple of shows that are not Pro wrestling oriented, as looks like we're transitioning to a new to be determined name. But I hopped this bandwagon and I brought aboard my other show, Busting Balls, the soccer podcast, coincidentally with the Bundesliga becoming the first major European league to get back to action, my co-host and I covered that, and so you can listen to that now on this very feed, or if you want to just bump up my other numbers, because I'm paying for that SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/busting-balls. There's a Erling Braut Haaland's smiling face to greet you for the episode. And you can check out some of our previous episodes, too, so you can get an idea of what we're about when we start actually when we're able to start resuming regular podcasting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because the leagues are slowly starting to come back. So, but in any event, thanks for listening to this. Check out the other fine shows on this feed. No matter what the feed's named, just listen to the good shows. You know, our good buddies Days of Thunder dropped a new one this week. There's always the Worldcast with Pete, Johnny, and Kelly. You know, going over 84 world class at this point. And yeah, and there may be I may be dropping a special episode soon too with my friend Dion Wells. We may be dropping something soon because there's my favorite. We're coming up on the 25th anniversary of my all-time favorite All Japan Pro Wrestling match, so I do kind of want to talk about that. So in the meantime, Lawrence, any final words?
I have no final words.
Okay, well, have a good week, and we'll probably catch you Wednesday on Boom Goes the Dynamite. So, talk to you then. Take care. Later.